definitely good to, first of all, be back in North Cackalack. Had a good time out in California, spending time with Brandon and his wife and his mother-in-law, but glad to be back. Got a chance to go to Hollywood. I didn't see my name in the Walk of Fame, so I got a little bit more work to do, but it's still good to be back. And we got an extra treat. We were able to spend some time with Brother Gramlin last weekend, and we worshiped with him, but keep him in your prayers. He's still really dealing with the loss of Rosa pretty bad. He was out there the first time he had led songs since before she had passed. So it's kind of extra special for him to be out there. But we're glad to be back. Glad to be back. I guess I took some cooties out there with me and brought them back. So still fighting the little illness. And I understand a lot of folks here, Brother Ed and Sister Barbara and so many other ones kind of getting over that crud. Or as my grandma says, the new morning. Not pneumonia, but new morning. So that's what she caught when she had it. But guys, be careful about that today. And again, thank you for allowing us to do that. You know, it's really special to be able to do it. But, you know, I tell folks all the time, I have great brothers and sisters at home to allow us to do that. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 45. We're going to use that as a springboard this morning. I also thank you for those who filled in with my stead, Brother Grady and his sons and so many other ones who did that to allow us to do that. So thank you again for helping out with that. Genesis chapter 45. We're going to read verses 1 through 8. And it reads as such. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and to Lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land. Subject title, But God. As we enter into a new year, a lot of folks reflect on the past. A lot of folks make plans for the new year. But from time to time, we get lost in the struggles of life. We get lost in trials and tribulations. We get lost in what is the real meaning of life. We get lost in all those things. We get lost in our past mistakes. We get lost in opportunities that we didn't take care of. But one of the things I want us to understand this morning is God has a plan for all of that. He can use whatever we've done, whatever we've been through, for his glory and good. Think about this, and we'll dig more into Joseph in a little while. Why in the world was he able to say this? Because you have to understand that he didn't start off life that good, per se. He was young, he had a father named Jacob, and his father had made it plain that Joseph was his favorite, and that's kind of dangerous when you have a lot of siblings. But then, look at what his brothers did. They sold him into slavery, faked his death, went to a foreign country, and now down the road, he says this, it wasn't you, but God. How many times in life do we blame others, and sometimes even God, for the circumstances that we're dealing with or going through? How many times do we wonder if God really cares? The answer is a resounding yes. But you got to wait to the end of the story. So if you're in the middle of problems, if you're in the middle of trials, if you're in the middle of circumstances, maybe, just maybe, you need to stick with God till the end of the story comes about. Think about this. Many wonder about our lives and the situations that occur. Wonder why bad things happen to good people. Many wonder, how in the world can I survive and make it through this? We sometimes wonder, why am I going through so many trials and tribulations? Many never take time to see that God is still in control of things in your life. Many fail to see how God will use our experiences for His glory. But is one of the biggest little words in our language. But often introduces a change, a transition, or a turning point in a story. But also represents a change in direction or a shift in our thoughts. But often means that God has other plans for us in our lives. We go through some stuff on this earth, family. We deal. We get bad news. We have all kind of things that happen to us. Sometimes by our own doing. Sometimes at the hand of others. But notice, Joseph didn't get bitter. He got better. Joseph had every opportunity, even had the power, to kill all his brethren who sold him into slavery. But look at Joseph's mindset. He says, "You didn't do this to me. God did, but He did it for your good." It took a while for him to come to that, because that wasn't a straight line that Joseph walked either. It was not you, but God. Joseph finally meets his brethren who sold him into slavery. Joseph had led both a blessed and trouble-filled life after this. Joseph probably wondered on many occasions, why me? I would imagine his thoughts were going, all kind of thoughts were going through his head when his brothers threw him in the pit. For what? He didn't do anything to cause that. You ever been in a situation that had to deal with some stuff in your life that you didn't cause? You ever had to deal with problems that somebody else brought to your doorstep? Have you ever been done wrong by anybody? Have you ever been used by anybody? Have you ever been betrayed by anybody? This is what Joseph was feeling. All he did was live his life every day. He didn't ask for that coat of many colors that his father Jacob gave him. He didn't ask for any of this. Joseph wondered that. He was abandoned by his family. You ever been abandoned by family? Then you know, Joseph knows a little bit what you're talking about. You ever been left by dead by those who supposed to love and care about you? Joseph knows what it's a little bit about what you're going through. They ever basically wrote you off as dead? Joseph understood what you're going through. Jail twice. For what? Not only that, now he got a criminal record. And he did nothing wrong. Attacked sexually by Potiphar's wife to the point where he ran out the house naked. And because of that, and she stuck with a lie, now Potiphar puts him in jail and wants his life. Crowned a prince, a slave and a prince, from a slave to a prince, Joseph finally was able to see God's purpose for his life. One of the things that God wants us to do is look beyond our current situations, look beyond our problems, look beyond the fact that we're struggling right now, look beyond the fact that things may not be going well right now. Look beyond the fact that maybe some folks have done some bad things to you. Because if not, you'll be captured in that moment forever. Every time you think about it, you'll be bitter. Every time it comes into your mind, you'll be negative about it. Every time you think about it, there's pain in your heart. But I want us to learn some lessons from Joseph. He says, in the end, I did this, and God did this so that I could be a blessing to you. God sent him ahead to one day save the family that had abandoned him. Oh my goodness. That's exactly what God did. Let us learn something from it today. God in his great wisdom overruled his brother's plan for Joseph. See, when things happen to us, make no mistake about it, there's an unseen hand who still protects and directs our path. There's an unseen hand who still, in spite of other folks' efforts to bring you down and break you, that will lift you up. There's an unseen hand controlling circumstances that basically will cause no weapon formed against you to prosper. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that's on our side. This is the God who says that his ears are open to the prayers of the righteous. This is the God that lets us know that whatever we're going through, it's going to be all right. This is the God who says that I'm more than able to help you in any situation. This is the God that says, my strength is enough, my grace is enough, my power is enough, and my protection is enough. It took a man like Joseph to believe in God in all his sufferings and trials. What about us? Many times what folks do is when they go through trials and tribulations is they stray away from God because they can't see. The problem is we need to stop trying to see and learn to trust. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, it says, we live by faith and not by sight. So stop trying to see everything in your life. Just learn to trust it. Don't give up yet because the story's not over with. The last chapter's not written. When it seems like you're at your worst point, and when it seems like you got some bad news from the doctor, realize that he is the great physician and they don't know the whole story. Realize that we'll be going through things and folks looking at you cross-eyed like you've done something to bring this trouble to your own doorstep. Realize that that's not the end of the story. This is what it's telling us here. It takes an unusual faith to believe God even when we don't understand. He didn't ask us to understand everything. He just asked us to trust him. He doesn't ask us to figure out how all this is going to work out for our good. He just says, continue to walk with me. This is the message that he has for us today. Joseph came to know and accept the awesome power of God over lives. Let me read a few more passages from Genesis 45 because we see some things here. Verse 2 says this, and he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And then he recognizes himself because if you read a little earlier in this, he didn't let them know who he was. They didn't even realize who he was. They didn't realize they looked probably like one another. They didn't realize this was the same Joseph. They came down because of a famine in Egypt, looking for bread. Now, what if Joseph would have given up on God? What if Joseph would have been bitter about it? What if Joseph would have had vengeance in his heart? What if Joseph wanted to get every last one of them who put him in the pit? Here's a cry of thanksgiving and mercy. It clicked. It finally made sense. It didn't make sense when he was in jail. It didn't make sense when he was running naked out of Potiphar's house. But it makes sense now when he's able to see that God, you were still in control the whole time. You had my back the whole time. You took care of me when I thought you wasn't there. You heard my prayers that nobody else heard. This is the God that we serve. Same thing here. But God raised him from the dead. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Here again is Christ. Satan and the world and all those who hated Christ thought they had finally got it. Matthew chapter 20, verses 17 through 20. I'll read 17 through 19, rather. Matthew 20, 17 through 19. And it reads as such. And Jesus, going up to Jerusalem, took the 12 disciples apart in the way, and he said, behold, we go to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be betrayed unto the chief priests and the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles to mock and discourage and to crucify him, and the third day he shall rise again. Now, just from knowing and being a halfway decent Bible student here, we see that his apostles didn't get it at this point. It scared them to death. It discouraged them to the point where they almost gave up when Christ says, I'm going through all these things. They left out this last part. They forgot that Christ said, I'm going to be raised on the third day. See, sometimes when trouble comes, sometimes when we don't understand things that we're going through in life, we give up before the end of the story. All they could see was a physical death. They were there when they pitched him in the side. At least they heard about it. That was two, at least in the vicinity, John and Peter, from a distance back. What were the rest of them? Why were they so upset and crying so much when Christ died? Why did they act like all was lost? Why were they hiding out in the upper room when Christ appeared to them miraculously? Because they didn't believe it. But God said, I got another plan. God says, death can't hold my son in the grave. God says, even though the world crucified him, I'm going to raise him up to be the Savior for all of mankind. He told them he would be falsely accused, killed, and rise again from the grave. Christ was being crucified and laid in the grave. Pilate and the Pharisees placed guards around the tomb to make sure that he would not rise out of the grave on the third day. Now, who in the world in their right mind would put a security guard in the graveyard? How ridiculous does that look? Who's getting up out of that? Hopefully, if not, if somebody's in there, you're probably going to run if you see him. But that was their mentality. But God said no. Matthew 28, 2 through 4. An angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the door to the grave. Matthew 28, 11 through 15 shows how the chief priests and elders tried to deal with it. They tried to make up a false claim. They tried to hide the fact that there was no body anymore. But it was actually God who raised him from the dead. Not even death can stand against the power of God. Sometimes as Christians, and even people living in the flesh, many folks sometimes think that death is the end. No, sir, no, ma'am. Death is a transition. You're going to live somewhere forever. The question is, where are you going to live forever? There's no such thing in Scripture like dead like Rover, dead all over. No, sir, no, ma'am. We put off this earthly tabernacle, and we, who we are, the essence of who we are, the soul lives on somewhere forever. And that's beautiful because death is not the end. Christ himself took the sting out of death. We're going to exist after we take our last breath. Make no mistake about it. And then we have the story of the young rich fool. God often deals with prosperity and our attitudes towards it. The story deals with life and of what it really consists of. Let's look at Luke chapter 12. We'll look and back up and get verse number 13. I'll read down a little bit more. And it says this. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he may divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, who made you a judge or divider over you? And he said to him, Take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisted not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them. The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take ease, eat, dine, and drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool. This night thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You want to know the meaning of life? Laying up treasures in heaven. That's the only thing that's going to matter in the end. And that's a wonderful thing that happened in this life that God allows us to enjoy. But they're just for this earth. Think about the many folks who are sacrificing laying up treasures in heaven for riches on this earth. They're only for this earth. Many folks feel like they're not successful or they don't have material things. You can be rich and not have two plug nickels to rub together. You're rich because you're blessed by God. You're rich because you're laying up treasures in heaven. But God says, this night thy soul is required of thee. Whose stuff is it going to be then? All the stuff that you're working for, all the things that you're putting before God, in the end, it's not going to mean a proverbial hill of beans. In the end. Now, I'm not saying we don't enjoy those things, but I'm saying somehow, some way, we have got to put this thing back in perspective. You know, God, the Bible is always true. And if you really look at society, this part is definitely true. For the love of money is the root of all evil. People will do anything for the almighty dollar. Hook, rob, steal, lie, it does not matter. And do it with a clear conscience. What about us? This young man wanted to take credit for all that God had blessed him with to build bigger bones. The man never mentions the poor, thanks God for his abundance. All he kept saying is self. What is self going to do with all this? How is self going to enjoy it all? Do you realize that your life can be over with in an instant? I had a friend of mine that I grew up with. He's a lot older, about my uncle's age, late 50s. While we were out in California, he was a general contractor, dropped dead, remodeling the bathroom. I mean, he didn't have a chance to do anything. Very healthy guy, worked out all the time, very strong and healthy. We used to play basketball when I was a lot younger. He used to beat me up and all that other stuff, in the paint and all that other stuff, but I just thought about it. He was in there. The person at whose house he was remodeling had went in to ask a question about paint. He was getting ready to answer it, and he dropped dead. Just like that. No chance, no nothing. He was dead long before the rescue squad got there. What would happen if that was you? Would you be ready? Would you be ready to meet your maker? Because life can change that quick. Would you be ready if Christ came 10 minutes from now to meet him? You may say, Brother Parker, you trying to spook me. No, I'm not trying to spook you. I'm telling you the truth. Nobody's promised tomorrow. They make 2-foot caskets as well as they make 6-foot caskets. Just look at what happened yesterday at Concord Mills. 13-year-old girl got shot. Dead. She's not going home. She's not going back to school on January the 6th. We need to stop playing. Life is short. We need to stop thinking that there's going to be another day to get things right. But God can say, your life ends today. But God can say, you don't make it home. But God can say, I'm not going to give you another chance to see an end of another year. Think about all those folks who are among the living this time when last year started. When 2019 started, they're no longer here anymore. They didn't have a plan. They didn't know that that day was going to come up before 2020 came in. They might have been making plans on down the road. What I'm trying to encourage us today is to understand that life is a gift. And we need to make the best out of it each and every day. What about us? What about us? He was considered a fool by God because he was unprepared to die. That's the way God looks at all of those folks who are not prepared to die. They're looked at as fools. Now, I'm not trying to say it in a demeaning way, but foolish to think that somehow, some way, they won't have to answer. Whatever we do in life, God can stop or destroy it in an instant. Matthew 6:19-20 says, lay up treasures in heaven. To not place God first in our life makes us fools or foolish. To think that there is no hell for disobedience makes us fools too. Oh my goodness. Where do you think you're going to go? You think God is going to give you a free pass when he says no respect of persons? Do you think that if God says that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, that he's going to give you an exception? You're fooling yourself. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 4 deals with the changed life of a Christian. It gives us a vivid picture of God's mercy as well. Also, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11 says that as well. Because it says this, and such, or we can actually say, but such were some of you. But we've been washed. We've been made whole. Even though we lived raggedy lives before, but God says you don't have to stay that way. Even though you made some mistakes in the past and you consider yourself chief of all sinners, you don't have to stay that way anymore. Aren't we glad that we're all in that same boat? We didn't have to stay bondage in sin, bounded by sin anymore. We don't have to live that life anymore. Yes, I know you had a past, but it's your past. Live in the day and have a new life today and tomorrow. It's never too late to return to God. It's never too late to turn things over to him while blood is still running warm in your veins. Make this upcoming day, this upcoming year, the best year ever, because you're going to do the most for God every year. I know you didn't do it last year or 2 years ago, but God gave you today. May God may give you some more time to get things right. What about us? God's mercy is described as everlasting, great, good, and tender. One who has forgiven of so much also should require us to forgive others. See, sometimes we forget that. One of the things that I want us to do when we feel pride raising its ugly head in our lives is to remember how much God has forgiven you of. There is no way that pride can stay puffed up in your life if you constantly remind yourself of how wretched we were without it. It keeps us humble. It ought to. Because none of us deserve life. We all deserve death. Even the best person in here, the person who thinks they live the best life, you still sin each and every day. Oh my goodness, what a good God we serve. God has a different plan. Satan wants to destroy us, but God says, I have something better for you. Romans 6, 15 through 18 say the same thing. Paul talks about the life of Romans and after becoming a Christian. Before and after becoming a Christian. He speaks of putting off the old man and putting on the new. Romans 6, 17 says this, but thanks be to God that you were once servants of sin, but you have obeyed that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Aren't we glad that we can thank God because we once served sin, but now we have an opportunity to live for Jesus. To live with Jesus in eternity. We serve an awesome God. God says, I know you were headed for a cruel and painful death, but I sent my son so that you'd have a way to live with me. I know this world is wretched and sinful, but see, there's another way that you can escape this world of sin by obeying the gospel. I know that you've lived a bad life and folks know all your sins, but I'm telling you, you don't have to be bound by him anymore. Because that's why I sent my son. We have a right to rejoice because God has delivered us from sin. We have a right to thank God because we all deserve death for our sin. But God saw fit to send his only begotten son. But God says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. But God said, straight, narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way. But God said, one Lord, one faith, one body, one baptism. I know what the world says, but God says something different. What about us today? Can we have a mindset like Joseph? Can we work on developing that? See, Joseph was able to stick with God no matter what. Didn't understand it, couldn't make sense out of it. Couldn't make sense of why his brothers hated him so much that he sold him into slavery. Couldn't make sense out of why he became a jailbird two different times. Couldn't make sense out of the fact of all he was trying to do was not violate his boss's wife. Couldn't make sense of all that, but then God allowed him to see the end. All those things I went through, God sent me through, but he did it for you. And that's the key. Because guess what? You're not going what you're going through just for you. There are going to be some folks that come along down the road who need to be able to walk in your footsteps, who need to be able to hear your story, how you got over. Because they can relate. They can understand. But God, see, you didn't do it. I serve a God who says, it doesn't matter what you do, I'm going to be available to his plan. We serve a God who says, I know what it looks like. It looks bad for you now, but stick with me, partner, and I'll make it turn out right for you. You serve a God who says, you know what? Everybody's done you wrong in your life. Everybody's done you dirty. Family's turned their back on you. Friends have talked about you, given up on you. But hang with me, and I'll show you I can make it work out for you. I show you I know what I'm talking about. I show you that I was in the middle when you thought I wasn't listening. When you thought I wasn't there. When you thought I wasn't by your side, I was there the whole time. I got you. That's what he's saying. That's what Joseph finally got to see. He realized that God had it. God's got you too. So don't pay attention to your surroundings. Don't pay attention to what you're going through. Look beyond it and say, God, use it for your glory. I know it's painful now, but use it for my glory. I know I'm going through some now. I don't understand why these things are happening to me in my life, and I may never get an understanding. But I do understand you. I need to trust you. What an awesome God we serve. Man says to do all kind of things to be saved. Man says, lay your hand on the radio. Man says, pray till you see a light coming into your life. Man says, run around the church 7 times until the Holy Spirit hits you. But God says, we hear the gospel. We believe what we've heard. Repent of our sins. We confess Jesus Christ, and we become baptized. We're baptized into Christ for the remission of our sins. Man says, child, you know what? Don't worry about all that. God's already forgiven you your sins, but how are you going to do that and you still drive? It's not possible. But God says something different. So sooner or later, we have to listen to what man says and what God says. And I'm so glad that we serve a God who lets us know that in spite of everybody else's efforts, in spite of Satan's efforts to bring us down, his will is going to be done. In your life, individually, and in the life of the church. Don't worry about your haters. They can't do nothing with you. Just stick with God. So if you have one desire or the other, put on Christ in baptism or request special prayer, we ask you to please stand as we sing a verse of 593. All right.